Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Should people who work for a company in Massachusetts but live in New Hampshire continue to pay income tax here if they're working from home? That's one of the unexpected questions raised by the coronavirus pandemic as schools and hospitals brace for a possible second wave, and many of us continue to work from home for longer than we ever imagined. So we begin today by diving into that tax question. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a former commissioner of revenue for Massachusetts. But first, we want to go north of the border to our sister station, New Hampshire Public Radio. Todd Bookman is a senior reporter there, and he joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston, Todd.
Hi, Jamie.
So that question that we asked there right at the top seems to have bubbled up based on reporting by the union leader on Sunday. Explain that. Was this something that New Hampshire's leaders hadn't considered until Sunday?
I do think that this caught most people off guard. In March, when Massachusetts announced this emergency order, it did not make major news here in New Hampshire. There may have been people who were commuting who may have noticed that regulatory change, but no, this was certainly not something that people had been talking about until just this week.
So, okay, what's the real issue here? What did Massachusetts do in March to now, in August, get the attention of New Hampshire's leaders?
Sure. So previously, anybody who commuted into Massachusetts could deduct a portion of their taxable income that would be put towards the Massachusetts income tax. So let's say you're a New Hampshire commuter and you were commuting in 4 out of 5 days. On that fifth day, maybe you worked from home. Massachusetts would allow you to deduct essentially 1/5 of your taxable income towards the Massachusetts state income tax. And if you're in New Hampshire where there is no income tax, that of course was a big benefit. And then in March, sort of at the start of the pandemic, we had this wave of people being told to work from home, and Massachusetts essentially rescinded this deduction policy. It essentially said if you are now working from home out of state, you are still sort of on the hook for Massachusetts income tax for that revenue, assuming that you are working for a Massachusetts-based company. And so this is what happened in March, and again, it didn't really get any attention until this week when the union leader reported on this topic. And now we've got a public hearing on the issue. The Massachusetts Department of Revenue is going to have a public hearing later in August on whether to continue this policy moving forward.
So this change, if it sticks, how many New Hampshire people could be affected by it?
That's a really good question. We don't have great numbers. Some estimates say around 100,000 people commute every day from New Hampshire into Massachusetts. That's, of course, pre-pandemic. We really don't have a good sense of how many people may be working from home right now, but it's clearly a lot of people. And so we're talking about a lot of people working at home for a lot of months and potentially longer. And so the dollar values here really could add up.
So you mentioned that the Massachusetts Department of Revenue is having a hearing on this later in the month. But what's New Hampshire's Governor Chris Sununu and the legislature there doing, or what are they saying on this issue?
Sure. So this week, the governor ordered our attorney general, the New Hampshire Attorney General, to essentially review what Massachusetts is doing, to investigate what is happening nationwide on this topic, and to see if states are following the law, if they're following their own tax policies, and to see if there's any potential U.S. sort of federal tax code violations here. It's unclear when the New Hampshire Attorney General might sort of release his findings or what may come of them. But at this point, that's what's been ordered, simply a review of these policies.
Yeah. So what role does the federal government play in these kind of tax squabbles between the states? Is there any federal tax law here that could come into play?
You know, I haven't seen any reporting on that issue just yet. There doesn't appear to be any on the surface, but, the attorney general may discover something that certainly could be relevant.
So, Todd, I grew up in the Merrimack Valley of Massachusetts, and this strikes me as not the first time that New Hampshire and Massachusetts have maybe come to blows over tax policy. I remember hearing sort of far-fetched stories of Mass state troopers waiting at the border to bust sales tax evaders. Is that a real thing that's happened in the past? Is this a real is there a history here of clashing between New Hampshire and Massachusetts on tax issues?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And New Hampshire politicians love these fights for obvious reasons. We know about the sales tax issue. New Hampshire, along with not having an income tax, it also doesn't have a sales tax. And last decade, this issue bubbled up involving a town fair tire on the border where folks from Massachusetts were coming up, getting their tires done. And there was a sort of a major fight between the two states about whether or not sales tax needed to be paid. New Hampshire has gone all the way to the Supreme Court to challenge internet sales tax applications, lost that fight about 2 summers ago. And then there have long been simmering tensions about New Hampshire's tax-free liquor sales and people coming from other states, sometimes buying extremely large quantities of booze and moving it across state borders. Potentially in violation of other states' tax policies. So yeah, this is not new to New Hampshire, and folks here take it really seriously.
So, Todd, where does this go from here?
Well, we're going to have this public hearing on August 27th. The Massachusetts Department of Revenue is considering whether or not to extend this rule through the end of 2020. Unclear when the New Hampshire Attorney General may reveal sort of his findings and opinion on this. But I think that public hearing should be an interesting flashpoint. We'll see a lot of people, I assume we'll see a lot of people from New Hampshire chime in and give their take on whether or not they think this is fair.
Chime in remotely from home, right? New Hampshire
Exactly.
Public Radio senior reporter Todd Bookman, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So we want to dig in more into what this could mean for Massachusetts, and for that, we want to turn to Amy Pitter. She's president and CEO of the Massachusetts Society of CPAs and the former commissioner of revenue for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Amy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Jamie. Nice to be here.
Thanks for doing it. So you were listening into that conversation, and so I just want to start by asking you what your reaction is to this bristling, if I can call it that, by New Hampshire.
Well, interesting stuff for sure. The issue of withholding and interstate withholding and interstate telecommuting is complicated, and was, like everything else, made more complicated by COVID. So in March, CPAs and other groups started begging states basically to provide guidance because the employers need guidance to be able to properly withhold and properly follow state rules. So what happened around the country at that point was you had sort of three or four responses. One response is there are still a lot of states there who haven't provided guidance and businesses are kind of on their own. We've had a couple of states say to employers, do whatever's easiest for you. And then the rest of the majority were kind of split between employers, states like Massachusetts, who basically said, look, what we want to do is pretend this is not happening. We want to create a fiction to say, let's maintain the status quo, do everything exactly the same way we did it pre-COVID, so that we're not requiring employers to jump through a lot of very complicated hoops and sort of rejig all of their systems and their payroll systems for something that's only going to be in place for a number of months.
But Amy, you could see how pretending that this doesn't exist could cause some concern for folks who live in New Hampshire and end up it could end up costing them a lot more money.
Well, just to be clear, nothing has changed, right? So the person who was driving in from Nashua and paying their tax on Monday is now telecommuting in from Nashua and paying their tax on Tuesday, and then when the crisis is over, they'll go back to driving in. And
Right,
so
but nothing. You say nothing has changed, but they're not driving in anymore. That's what's changed, right?
That's what's changed. So the alternative would be to say, let's force employers and let's force payroll companies to make these massive changes for just a few months. So employers would hate this if you went the other way. And as I said, it's the employees aren't losing money. All they're doing is paying the same taxes in the same way as they've been paying it all along. Now, Massachusetts has recently superseded their first tax directive back in April with a new one in July, which is, I think, probably what New Hampshire noticed. To say, you know what, we can't do this forever, right? The crisis is lasting longer than we thought it would. So it all ends on December 31st.
Yeah, we actually reached out to the Department of Revenue and they declined to participate with us today, but they did give us some information, including a statement from a spokesperson saying that, yes, these rules are temporary and as proposed would not extend beyond 2020. But as we know, as with everything in this pandemic, everything is so uncertain. And so what happens if these employees remain work from home employees beyond 2020?
So if they do and these rules expire, then they're going to be treated like pre-COVID telecommuters. And they'll go ahead and if they're New Hampshire, won't be withheld upon. And if they're from some other state, there'll be a withholding obligation for that other state.
So, Amy, I want to ask you about the income implications here for the state. If New Hampshire successfully challenges this, or if we enter that new phase next year, how big of a hole could something like this blow in the Massachusetts budget?
So, first of all, I'm not sure what it means for New Hampshire to challenge this exactly. I think people who have a standing to challenge this are individual employees who might say to their employer, look, you've been illegally withholding because I'm home in Nashua and you have no right to withhold. So that would be, I think, the only way this gets challenged in court. So then, yeah, there would be a, whatever it is, somewhere between 6 and 9 months worth of tax withholding that would be refunded to that taxpayer. I don't know the overall impact on the budget, depending upon, I guess, how many taxpayers decided that, you know, that this was worth suing over. What New Hampshire itself can do for Massachusetts, I really can't picture that. You know, what a state-to-state lawsuit would look like here. I don't know what their beef would be.
Got it. But potentially, there could be lost revenues here in Massachusetts.
Potentially. I mean, I have to say, I think Massachusetts is on pretty firm ground here. You know, there are states like New York that have a convenience of the employer rule, and they can basically tax telecommuters if they're telecommuting by mutual agreement that telecommuting is better for the employee and employer. And then they can just go ahead, New York can just go ahead and tax that person who's commuting from Pennsylvania or New Jersey or wherever. So, and from the COVID standpoint, Massachusetts is well within the mainstream. I'd say most states that are doing anything are doing this, and not most like 90%, most like 55%. This is the way they're going.
Well,
because it would be so burdensome to employers to go the other way.
Well, we'll just,
by the way, when employers incur costs, those costs are either passed on to consumers or employees. So, you know, so somebody's paying.
Well, we'll find out who will be left holding the bill, I suppose, by the end of the year. Amy Pitter is president and CEO of the Massachusetts Society of CPAs, and she's the former commissioner of revenue for the state of Massachusetts. Amy, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jamie. Bye.